A Tea Party trifecta. The first three GOP contenders to announce for president, Senators Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and now Marco Rubio, all have Tea Party ties, or at least they did. Amid the campaign regulars cheering them with each new announcement, we have yet to spot any signs demanding balanced budgets or killing off the IRS, much less pitchforks. Joining us now, Jennifer Rubin, blogger at The Right Turn for The Washington Post. Jennifer, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
The tone out there certainly isn't 2008 or even 2012. Do you think anyone's drinking the tea these days, or is the party over, as they say?
I think Ted Cruz is still drinking that. He actually did call for the abolition of the IRS, which I've never quite understood, because they never then say how they're going to raise revenue or police the raising of revenue. But I think he has some of that, and Rand Paul has some of that. If you think of the Tea Party as really sort of the anti-government party, very antagonistic, very suspicious of government, not quite libertarian because they tend to be social conservatives, but really a very anti-government party, those, I think, would be the closest that you find to that. But the field is really dominated by people, you're right, who do not embrace that. They're either governors who, while conservative, tend to be practical. They actually have to pass budgets and raise revenue and do all those things that executives have to do. Or yesterday we saw Marco Rubio come in, and he, although he had Tea Party support, we don't really think of him as a, quote, Tea Party candidate.
No.
Because he takes a very creative, very instrumental approach to government. He wants to actually do certain things, and he is not, although he wants limited government, he says, he's not antagonistic towards a safety net or towards the idea of the government performing certain functions.
But let's move our spotlight just a moment, if we can, away from the candidates themselves and what used to be this sort of remarkable grassroots movement, which very much sort of recast the Republican Party, at least for a couple of election cycles there. I mean, there was a kind of fire-breathing rhetoric, certainly from the candidates, but also as you talk to their supporters, that we're not picking up a lot, not even here in Texas, at least not very much. And in fact, a lot of it seems to be very much sort of, I don't know, the mainstream of the Republican Party versus the fresh new faces, not so much the grassroots outrage.
Well, I think we saw the party as a whole, frankly, reject the Tea Party in 2014. There were a whole slew of candidates in Senate races that were thought to be competitive who ran. You saw in Kentucky, for example, and Colorado, really a lot of these gettable states, Tea Party-ish candidates. And they all lost in the primaries, every single one of them. And the more, quote, mainstream Republican then either came close, as Scott Brown did in New Hampshire, or they won. And that's how the Republicans captured the Senate. So whether you interpret that as a rejection of Tea Party-ism, or it is simply a pragmatic view that you have to have mainstream candidates who can win and aren't going to blow themselves up, I think that's when you really saw a diminution of that influence. In a Republican primary, however, in a small state, that becomes more important because a relatively few number of people can dominate. And, you know, with this many candidates, someone with 11% of the vote might win, for example, the Iowa caucuses. So they may be more influential, at least initially, but pretty soon in the Republican process, you have to start winning big states.
Right.
Their influence is diluted. And that's why Rand Paul's father, Ron Paul, never won a single primary.
Jennifer, thank you very much for taking time to speak with us. Jennifer Rubin is a conservative blogger and a columnist for The Washington Post.